Anybody read this today? Caught my eye when I walked out. I picked one up and I read it quick. It says, no warning. That we heard last night from Matt. No warning. And he was involved in a serious accident. I myself was in one many years ago, back in 1972. A man stopped in front of me and I was on a motorcycle. You know, there just isn't enough room sometimes. So we had a little ride. But what I have on my heart is an extension of what we heard yesterday from Mr. Rusing, from young people, about building towers and digging wells. What I have on my heart is an extension of that, and that is your buddy, your friend, the ones you keep company with. And I read from the book of Daniel in chapter 1, start with verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested the prince, the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat, water to drink, and let our countenance be looked upon before thee. Countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. As thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in the matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than the 12 children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. 17. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge, skill, and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. 19. And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. Then things started to go south. You get over in chapter 3. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to his king, O Nebuchadnezzar. I got to back up one verse there. 15, now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image that I have made. Well, cast the same, no, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire of furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it wont to be heated. Verse 21, then the men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and other garments, were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fires, slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. 25. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. The thoughts I had on those 3 men there, they were taken captive. They would not bow down. They had found favor with the king. But then things kind of went, as you read through there, things kind of went south. And they would not bow down to what the king had decreed. The thing that I enjoyed in that is the 16th verse. It says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. Their minds were already set before they were confronted with that. They knew the answer before they were given that option. The king said, if you bow down, everything will be good. We'd already gone back on his word. So they were already set in their mind. They were going to serve the living God. And then later on, we have a portion with Daniel in chapter 6. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. King sought to set him over the whole realm. Later on in that chapter, verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication for his God. He sang a song about prayer, just a little bit ago. And the king commanded, because Daniel was praying, worshiping his God. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continuously, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went away from him. He cared for Daniel, but he got caught in his own trap. So he had, by decree, fulfill the law that he had made. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went to haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, this man's heart ceased. Servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. What I was thinking about in these passages here, these four men, they got together. They were supposed to, the king had a dream, and no one could answer it. But Daniel and these three men got together, and they prayed. And they asked the Lord to show them. There was kind of a difficult situation. And then they worked together. They were buds. They prayed for him. They talked to him. And they went. And they had a set mind that they were going to honor God. Their God, our God, God, our God. They were going to honor him. They were not going to dishonor him in any way. With food or drink, with praying or not praying, because that's how that went. And they were thrown into the fire. I'm certain that Daniel was in prayer for those men. And they were probably more than likely in prayer with each other as they were going in. And we see that there is another one in there with the likeness of God. God will not let you go through a trial without being there with you. That I would say, I know I've done a lot of things. I've had a lot of trials. With Daniel, doesn't say anything about Meshach and Abednego, Shadrach. But I can't help but think that when they put Daniel in the lion's den, those three men were in prayer for Daniel. I know that Daniel was in prayer, but he was trusting in his living God. He did. He was brought out of the lion's den. And thinking about that buddy system, there was a time many years ago when I had a little reflection about myself. Many of you don't know me. Some of you have met me for the first time. Some of you I met many years ago, 35 years ago. My name is Bernie Brett. I'm from Iowa. Back in the 70s, as Sam said, we worked together in a factory. There was a lot going on in that factory. There was a lot of commotion. Young men getting saved. They were finding Christ. And Christ was living in them. It was kind of strange to me because the foreman and the supervisors, they didn't really care for it, but when a lot of these men got saved, their production went up. They were happier, and they were working for the Lord. We weren't working for the man, we were working for the Lord. And the early part that I have with Christianity was the fact that I was working in that factory. A man came down into the shipping dock where I worked. I was a welder down there. If you see cranes going down the railroad tracks, you see those iron bars holding them onto the rail car. It was my job to weld them together so that they would hold the bar, or the crane on the car. Wasn't that big of a deal, it was an easy job. We had a man named Alex George. He came down into the area. We all knew he was a Christian. I didn't like him. I didn't like Christians because I had decided earlier in my life. One thing I didn't care, I was raised a Catholic. And I had a falling out. And I just despised people that preached. And we got Alex down in our area, and I made a commitment to some friends of mine. I said, that's fine. I said, he'll be gone in 3 months. I said, I'll drive him out. And I tried. I tried my best to drive that man out of the area because I didn't like him. He was a young believer himself. I don't think he was saved more than a year. But I didn't see something, and I didn't pay attention to it. He had Sam, and I don't know how many others, praying for him. I gave that man the Dickens. I said this on that Zoom meeting. He'd come in the morning, say his lunch pail down, I'd do something to him. The morning I'd go over, open his lunch pail, take his apple out, I'd take a bite of it, put it back, go back to work. He'd come over there, lunchtime, open his lunch pail up, ease that. And I'd stand there and I'd just think to myself, what am I going to do next? Well, then I took a bite out of his sandwich a couple times. He picked that sandwich up and looked at it. I got to the point where I thought I'm going to have to do some destructive things to get him out of it. So I poured Cosmoline in his shoe, his work shoe. That's what we paint on cylinders. So if we ship them overseas, the salt water won't affect the cylinders that chrome on. Ruined his shoes. He just looked at it, took them over to the bathroom, cleaned them up, put them on. I can't get this guy. I don't know what's wrong. I didn't see something. I did not see Sam. There he is. I did not see Joe Bird. And countless others that were praying that I would find Christ. I had committed myself to hell because I knew I couldn't do enough good to get to heaven because that's how I was raised. In the Catholic Church, you do good to offset the bad, and hopefully the scales will tip in your favor. That's how I was raised. And I gave up. And then one day, this is a gospel term. Alex came in and says, hey, Bernie, read that. I said, take it away, I don't want it. He just left it. I sat there, looked at it. After a couple days, I slipped off bathroom and I read. I read more. I don't know how many I read. pity that guy. I couldn't do enough. Couldn't do enough against him to drive him out. And after 6 months, I said I'd have him drove out in 6 months, or in 3 months. At 6 months, I asked Christ into my life. And I could not believe in myself. Sam came down into the area. If there's any questions I had, I'd ask Alex. Sam was around, I'd ask him. I just couldn't understand it. I don't know, but I found something that I could lay hold of, that I had, that I could take, and it was mine. And it was mine. And thinking about Daniel and those three men, they gave them different names. But they still had God in their heart. They would not bow to the king. And that man Alex, I tried to knuckle him under as hard as I could, and he wouldn't. And that's what I think got me more than anything, was the fact that everything I did to him, it was just like, okay, we're good. No big deal. So, there's a thought that I had, especially for you young people, is the best thing you can do is find yourself a godly friend, one that loves Jesus as much as you, if not more, someone that you can confide in. It may be your parents. It may be the person sitting next to you. I don't know. I've got a few that I can talk to, and I can unload my burdens. And I know I've got a few that talk to me. And that is the best thing, because you do not need to carry your burdens alone. God will help you carry them. And He's given you all these people in this room that will help you. And that's one of the things that that I really cherish, is the fact that no matter what kind of a problem I'm having, I can talk to LaMoyan, I can talk to Bob, I can talk to Sam. I now know Steve. I met him up in Bella and got to know him a little more down here. Some other people around here, and some that I met 35 years ago. I can point you out. I can't really say their names all the time. I'll say the Buchanans. Anybody here know any Buchanans? In 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, life eternal, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And then 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I've been in the army for 3 years. We were given a job. We were given an operation. We dedicated all our resources to that operation because we didn't want to fail. And in this here, it says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the things of this world. We didn't entangle ourselves with things that were going on around us. We dedicated ourselves to our operation, to the function that we wanted to accomplish. And that is something that all you young men need to think about, ladies, that it is a battle. It is a war. And I'll give you a second of that. Not too long after I got saved, I got transferred to second shift to weld an experimental boom together. I got stuck there. They picked me. They said, "You want you to go up and do it?" And I said, "Okay." So I went to second shift, started working. I got there. I got about 10 people around there, and he says, "Pick whoever you want to work with you." I said, "I'll pick any one of them guys. I don't want her. I just didn't want to work with a girl." 15 minutes later, I'm over there, unpacking stuff, getting everything set up. Here she comes. You all knew that was coming, didn't you? Here she comes. And I thought to myself, "I'm not gonna like this." But I gave it to the Lord and I said, "This will be fun." We worked together for about 3 weeks. One day she came over, sat down, and I was having my lunch. We always sat right next to, I always sat right in my work area because we didn't have time to go out. Sat down, she came over and sat down. She looks at me and she says, "What's with you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you're different." I said, "Well, explain that. What do you mean by different?" I thought she was going to get on this thing about not liking working with her, but she said, I knew you before you started acting this way." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, I knew you when you used to go out and party with all them guys." I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's over." I said, "I got something now that I've never had before." I said, "I've got eternal life. I've got the Lord Jesus. I know that I'm going to heaven." And she said, and I, from that point on, she started asking questions. After about a couple of weeks, she accepted Christ. I'm just dumbfounded because here I didn't even want to work with her, and the Lord put her there so she could find the Lord. We don't know what's going on. But then about 2-3 weeks later, she comes in and she's really sad. And I was thinking to myself, "What's the matter? You've been really happy for 3 weeks." She says, "I can't tell you." I said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "Is it Tom?" That was her boyfriend. They were living together. "Yeah." I said, "Was it going to beat me up?" "No." "Do you want to kill me?" She said, "Yes." I called on my buddy system. My friend Kenny Kettleson, who Sam led to the Lord, he was working with me on that same department, only a couple of days over. Break time comes, over here again, you got a problem. He said, what is it? So I explained it to him. He says, well, let's just go talk to him. Okay, let's do that. I told Linda, I said, we'll go talk to him. And he says, I'll go call all the older ones in the meeting. And he did. He called several other people too. We went to see him. We got off work at midnight on Friday night. We went down to the old, I can't remember the name of that restaurant anymore. I don't even know if it's still there. Country Kitchen, coming on Country Kitchen.
Yeah,
Country Kitchen. Nice burgers. He's inside sitting down. Kenny and I walk in. He's sitting in the booth here, she's here, Kenny's standing here, and I'm walking. We're all standing there. They're sitting, we're standing. And I looked at him and I said, what's up, Tom? And he said, you know, before this night's over, I'm going to cut your throat from here to here. I said, well, if that's what the Lord's going to have to do, I said, nothing's going to stop me. Kenny, he walks up, he says, well, it's not all Bernie's fault. He led her to the Lord. I'm the one that told her she shouldn't be living with you. And he hit him with a right hook right across his face, sent his glasses flying out, cut his nose, he's bleeding. I picked his glasses up, I said, here, Kenny. Manager comes over and says, you guys got to leave. Kenny says, here's the other chief. Tom says, I ain't falling for that. I found out later on, because he said earlier before that, he said to me one day, he said, how can a just, kind, loving God take my parents away when I'm 12 years old? He hated God. And he was taking it out of us and everyone else. But anyway, getting back to it, we get thrown out, we're standing outside, we're in a grassy area about this big. He's over here yelling at us, yelling at her. She's standing about 10 feet away from him. We're over here, and he bellers out as loud as he can. Who do you love more? Me or this Jesus that you can't see? And that beautiful woman stood right there and said, Jesus. In front of a crowd of people, in front of us. It took the wind out of his sails so fast. He had nothing to say. The police came. You see your ID? Here it is. What happened to your face? Blood running down Kenny's face. Kenny says, I sprung a leak. Wasn't going to say anything bad about Tom. We just left. He said, were you guys there? That weekend, Linda took Tom. He said, Saturday morning, he said, we're going to go to church this afternoon. So they did. They got back home from church. They got into an argument. She kicked him out. Sunday afternoon, he comes back. He says, I want to go back to church. They went to church, and Sunday night he got saved. I come into work on Monday morning thinking that I was going to get beat up, attacked. Sam came out the door from the factory. He was leaving early, just a few minutes, and I was coming in. Sam goes, you ain't going to believe this. And I said, what? He said, Tom got saved. I That's exactly how I felt. I felt like the weight of the world was off of my shoulders. And I was never so happy in my life. She was just beaming when I got in to work with her. And I've lost track of them. I haven't seen them for many years. We got laid off from that factory. But that's just a couple little incidents in my life about the buddy system and what I'm trying to say to you. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, the buddy system. Keep a friend, or more than one, several, close. Keep in touch with them constantly. Share the word with them. Go over with them. These young people's things are just wonderful. I love it. It is awesome. Those are the words of my friend Bobby. Awesome. I've gotten to reconnect with a lot of people down here that I hadn't seen in many years. And I'll say another thing. A lot of the people that I knew when I was down here 35 years ago are now home with the Lord. And in this little story, there's a warning. It says, no warning. That they all jumped in to get a shoe and went over the falls. There's no warning. I popped over hill with my motorcycle going 60 miles an hour. And there was a vehicle set across the ways of the road. My headlight came down. I spent 6 months in a cast. Blade didn't heal right. They had to re-break it, put screws in it. It's all good. Doesn't matter now. But I know when I go to glory, I won't have sore knees, I won't have sore elbows, I won't have a bad leg. I'm going to give you a choice. That's one way, as I was saying in here about we're fighting a war. Have a buddy close. It might be a boy, it might be a girl. Someone that you can talk to when the times get rough. Most importantly, don't ever lose the communication connection with your parents. Because I'll tell you one thing, they love you more than you know. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but they do.